Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
That's a joyous Seattle Sounders Club with their version of the holiday classic Jingle Bells, celebrating their first Major League Soccer championship. On a cold, frosty night in Canada, the Sounders edged host Toronto FC 5-4 on penalty kicks after 120 minutes of scoreless soccer. The MLS Cup trophy capped a remarkable turnaround by Seattle. At the midseason point, the Sounders had lost U.S. World Cup star Clint Dempsey because of heart problems, and the Sounders also fired the only coach in their eight-year history, Siggy Schmidt. Siggy was replaced by his top assistant, Brian Schmetzer, who joined his players in the celebrations in Toronto. Seattle's 22-year-old striker Jordan Morris, the 2016 MLS Rookie of the Year, talks about winning the title.
It's amazing. Toronto, all credit to them, made it really tough for us. They're a very good team, and playing them here, it's very difficult to bring this trophy back to Seattle for the fans who deserve it and the whole city of Seattle. For me, it's unreal growing up here and being around the Seattle sports, you know, teams and following them and always wanted to be on this team, and then to come and bring a championship back to be part of that team, it's hard to put into words.
Meanwhile, there were words of praise for the spectacular save made by Seattle goaltender Stephen Fry in the 18th minute of extra time. The 30-year-old Swiss goalie, who was named the most valuable player of the MLS Cup final, powered off his left foot and fully extended his left arm to stop a looping header by Jozy Altidore. Altidore described it as a hell of a save. Seattle's majority owner, Adrian Hanauer, said the save was something from the heavens. And Sounders defender Brad Evans said the save helped spark his team to victory.
The momentum swings for me in my mind. It's like, all right, you know, that's a massive one. That's a world-class save. That's one that is a legendary save. And, you know, he comes up big again in the penalty kicks. It's a crapshoot from there, but he also makes a timely save, and that gives us confidence moving forward.
A confident Brad Evans and the victorious Seattle Sounders will keep the MLS Cup in the American Northwest, where Major League Soccer has some of its most passionate fans. Last year's winners were the Portland Timbers, based in the Northwest U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. Toronto FC was the first Canadian club to reach the MLS Cup final. Toronto's head coach, Greg Vanney, reflects on the very painful penalty kick loss in the final.
You know, thinking about every play, every moment, everything that could have been a little bit different, and it hurts. And these guys have worked through all of their energy and everything else, so I think it's normal that they're right in a position to break down. For me, I still have a lot of pent-up energy that's sort of in my system that I haven't been able to get out yet, and that's a little bit, I think, what's holding back the emotion that really will come out at some point, because myself, my staff, everybody around the club put an incredible amount of work into getting us to where we are and giving us the best chance to be successful this year, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that will feel it as time passes.
That's Greg Vanney, the head coach of Major League Soccer's Toronto FC club. And Vanny spoke after the MLS Cup final in Toronto, Canada. Earlier, I mentioned Toronto's Jozy Altidore. Well, before the MLS Cup final, the 27-year-old Altidore was named U.S. Soccer's Male Player of the Year for 2016. Jozy also won the award in 2013. And 18-year-old Christian Pulisic, who plays for Borussia Dortmund in Germany's Bundesliga, was named U.S. Soccer's 2016 Young Male Player of the Year. Votes for both awards were collected from men's national team players who earned a cap in 2016. Also, there were votes from men's national team and youth men's national team coaches, as well as coaches in Major League Soccer. Select former players, administrators, and media members also cast ballots for the Male Player of the Year. Jozy Altidore led the U.S. men's national soccer team with 6 goals and 2 assists during 10 appearances this year. 4 of Altidore's 6 goals came in 2018 World Cup qualifying matches.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The European Football Union, UEFA, held the draw Monday for the round of 16 knockout phase of its Champions League club competition. Reporter Loic Youth has that story, as well as other European club football news.
Warm greetings to you all tuned in and a sporty congratulations from me, Loic Youth, to the Seattle Sounders for lifting their maiden MLS Cup after overcoming Toronto FC on penalties. But now I take you guys to Europe, where the draw for the first knockout round of the Champions League took place earlier today in Lyon, and here's what awaits us in February. Manchester City will be hosting Monaco at the Etihad, Napoli will travel to the Santiago Bernabeu to face Real Madrid, Borussia Dortmund travel to take on Benfica, FC Porto will host Juventus, Bayer Leverkusen will welcome Atletico Madrid, 3-time Europa League champions Sevilla will entertain Premier League champions Leicester, and the tastier clashes will see Barcelona travel to Paris Saint-Germain, and for the first time in years, it is Arsenal traveling to Bayern Munich for the first leg. Those games will take place on the week of February 14th, with the return leg set for March 7th and 8th. While we await Europe's elite to serve us some interesting encounters, we still had lots to cheer about this weekend as we draw close to the halfway point in England and Spain. The Barclays Premier League saw 36 goals this weekend, and here are how the teams fared. Watford came from behind to beat Everton 3-2 at Vicarage Road. Arsenal stayed close to the top, coming from 1-1 to overcome Stoke 3-1 at the Emirates. Burnley battled to a 3-2 home win over Bournemouth, with Hull City and Crystal Palace playing out to an enthralling 3-3 draw at the KC Stadium. Bob Bradley Swansea thumped Sunderland 3-0 to have David Moyes' men rooted to the bottom of the table. And the surprising result of the weekend saw current champions Leicester City put 4 past Pep Guardiola's Manchester City in a 4-2 victory. So that was at least 3 goals on Saturday for all the home teams this weekend. Wow, pure entertainment. Sunday's games were not as high-scoring, but Chelsea, Manchester United and Southampton all scraped to 1-0 wins at home over West Brom, Spurs and Middlesbrough respectively. Diego Costa scored the winner to register his 12th of the season and maintain his spot as the top marksman in the league. So here's what the table looks like in England. Chelsea sits top, with Arsenal, Liverpool and Manchester City making out the top 4. Spurs, Manchester United, Watford, West Brom, Everton and Southampton make up the top 10. The bottom half consists of Stoke in 11th, followed by Bournemouth, Burnley, Leicester, Crystal Palace, Middlesbrough, West Ham, Swansea, Hull City, and Sunderland. Onto La Liga now, where goals are always guaranteed, with Barca traveling to Osasuna for the first game of the weekend, coming away with a 3-0 win, and Messi, of course, doing some more magic to maintain his place at the top of the scoring charts. Real Sociedad put 3 past Valencia at home in a 3-2 win, with Los Che right back Cancelo getting his marching orders on 82 minutes, and Real Madrid matched the Sociedad-Valencia score with Sergio Ramos scoring yet again a towering header to get a result just like he did at El Clasico a week prior. Las Palmas and Leganes were deadlocked at 1-1. Sunday followed the same vein with 3 wins and a draw as Eibar and Deportivo Alaves ended scoreless. Sevilla, fresh from qualifying for the next round of the Champions League, got all 3 points at Celta Vigo with a convincing 3-0 win. Espanyol edged a 3-goal game against Sporting Gijón, and last but not least, Real Betis needed an 18th-minute winner to overcome Athletic Bilbao at home. The baton is passed to Villarreal, who plays host to Atletico Madrid later today to see off round 15. So here are how the teams stand. Real Madrid is in the lead, followed by Barcelona, Sevilla, and Real Sociedad, surprisingly, in the top 4, but that could change after today's game. Atletico Madrid, Villarreal, Athletic Bilbao, Eibar, Espanyol, and Las Palmas complete the top half of the table. Malaga starts off the bottom half and is followed by Celta de Vigo, Deportivo Alaves, Real Betis, Leganes, Deportivo La Coruña, Valencia, Sporting Gijón, Granada, and Osasuna. But don't be down, my dear football fans, because there is a full round of Premier League games coming up tomorrow and Wednesday, so be sure to tune in. And in some wonderful news from South America, 31-year-old defender Helio Neto, who was one of the survivors of the Chapecoense crash, is in stable condition, and doctors predict he will be able to return to the beautiful game again. Isn't that lovely? And all the best in his recovery. However, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining. This is Loic Youth passing it back to you, Sonny. You don't know
the half of you. Thanks, Loic. And yes, that is lovely and wonderful news about the Chapecoense defender. Best wishes for his recovery after that terrible plane crash in Colombia. Now let's go to Manchester, England, where International Boxing Federation heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua has made his third successful title defense. Reporter Samson O'Malley has that story, as well as other sports news.
Anthony Joshua successfully defended his IBF heavyweight title with a third-round stoppage of Eric Molina in Manchester, UK at the weekend. Joshua knocked the American down with a shot right before the referee waved the fight off.
Dealing with someone who's not giving you many options, so I had to create him, and once I saw it, I tried to connect properly and I managed to knock him out. The right hook can always follow up with the left hook, so 2 shots. But he's not a Klitschko, he's not a Hay, he's not all of these other Fury, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't get too hyped. I took him out of there like I should, and I'm going to keep on doing it like I should, because I said I need to keep on building up the rank.
The 27-year-old now has 18 knockouts from as many fights and will now face former heavyweight king Wladimir Klitschko at Wembley Stadium on the 29th of April. Kenya defended its men's volleyball title after beating Rwanda in straight sets at the 7th East African Community Inter-Parliamentary Games that came to a close in Mombasa County at the weekend. Arthur Odera is the captain of the Kenyan volleyball team.
We have won because we prepared very well. We have very good players, and we created a good spirit of teamwork within our team and resisted all attempts by Rwanda to take the trophy that we won in Kigali last year.
Meanwhile, Uganda finished as the overall winners after winning the football and netball titles. And in football, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa have crashed out of the Club World Cup, losing 2-0 to Kashima Antlers of Japan. European champions and runaway favourites Real Madrid will face CONCACAF champions America in the other semi-finals on Thursday after the Mexican side came from behind to beat Asian champions Jeonbuk Motors 2-1 in Sunday's other game. In beach soccer, Switzerland have emerged champions of the 2016 Copa Lagos Beach Soccer Tournament after beating Nigeria 8-3 at the Echo Atlantic City Lagos on Sunday. The competition served as a preparations for the Supersan Eagles ahead of the Lagos 2016 Beach Soccer African Cup of Nations. Switzerland are also the European Beach Soccer Champions. In athletics news, Siona O'Sullivan has hit out at the IAAF for allowing athletes to represent countries with which they have no connection. Fionnolula McCormack missed out on a medal at the European Cross Country Championships on Sunday, where she finished fifth, just 2 seconds short of claiming a bronze medal. The race was won by Yasmin Kanaf of Turkey, with Meriam Akida finishing in second, both of who are Kenyan-born athletes.
You know, it's a shame, really, that, you know, there are Kenyans so easily allowed to represent European countries, because it takes away from the race. And, you know, I don't think they're legitimately running for the country. They don't live there. They haven't grown up there. There's no connection there. They're basically being paid to run for Turkey.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need: free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Monday greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, I'm going to take a wild guess that the UEFA Champions League is trending.
I think so, just a little bit. No, absolutely. It was all over social media this morning. The first thing when I came in this morning, splashed all over Twitter and Facebook, all about the round of 16 matchups. And a lot of talk about two matches in particular. The first, Barcelona versus Paris Saint-Germain. Third time in 5 years that they have played each other. So a bit of deja vu for fans there, saying some things never change, that players should know what they're getting into by this point after the third out of 5 years. But a lot of questions: is this the best for fans, having this be such a consistent matchup? Now, if you thought three times in 5 years was a lot, look at Arsenal and Bayern Munich. They're going to be playing for the fourth time in 5 years. And they had a little fun back and forth on their Twitter accounts. Bayern Munich tweeted out a GIF from the movie Groundhog Day. Of course, it's, you know, Bill Murray keeps waking up and it's the same day over and over and over again. So they tweeted that at Arsenal and they just said, hello again. Of course, another matchup. And Arsenal tweeted back, said, see you soon. And they had a nice photo of Thomas Müller and Mesut Ozil of Bayern Munich and Arsenal, respectively. They both play for the German team, the German national team, but they play on Bayern Munich and Arsenal, hugging it out in their Team Germany uniforms. So a nice photo that they put up there, showing that it might be a friendly matchup in the fourth out of 5 years. But you know, the fans are really questioning these matchups, saying the fix is on. They're starting to feel like annual events. There's no fun in it because it's making these matchups so consistent. But at the same time, it makes it a lot of fun. It's almost as to be expected. So it's almost, as fans are saying, like an annual event.
Speaking of annual events, Andrew, and a traditional matchup, the annual Army-Navy football game played this year, not too far from our VOA headquarters up in Baltimore, Maryland. Is Army-Navy trending?
It is indeed. And you talk about an annual event, like you said, this has been going on for 117 years. It's the 117th time that they met this past weekend, the Army and Navy football teams. We don't talk a lot about college football usually on the show, but the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, and West Point, where the Army college is there, they are colleges, and they have college sports teams just like any other college. And so these two teams have played each other for over 100 years. Now, for the past 14 years, Navy has won. It's the longest streak in the series that Navy has. Well, Saturday, Army broke that streak, winning for the first time since 2001, and getting a lot of attention for that. I know I have two friends, one who went to the Naval Academy, one who went to West Point, and I was at a holiday party with them on Saturday night. But they were in good spirits. They were, you know, I told my friend who went to the Naval Academy, I said, all good things must come to an end. And I told my Army friend, I said, congratulations on finally winning. And that was pretty much the sentiment on social media. The Navy fans were disappointed, but what a run that they had in this matchup. And the Army fans are just thrilled that they've won for the first time in so long. Also getting a lot of attention on social media from this game, President-elect Donald Trump was in attendance. A little bit of a dig at the Army and Navy players. He said he was there to watch the football. He said maybe not the best football, but football. So some Army and Navy fans taking exception to that, saying, you know what, it's a hard-fought contest and one that's been going on for such a long time. And maybe it isn't the top-tier college teams, but it's still a great matchup.
Quick shout-out, Andrew, for a sportscaster who called the Army-Navy game, Vern Lundquist, longtime sportscaster for CBS. He covers a variety of events, college football. He calls the Masters, as well as March Madness. He announced after the Army-Navy game that this was his last college football game that he would call. I think his first one was way back in 1974. He will continue to do golf and March Madness, the basketball. So we wish Vern well, one of the good guys in the sports fraternity.
And he was getting a lot of attention on social media after that announcement because he started to choke up and get teary-eyed and hit a lot of fans right in their heartstrings. They've been watching him, a lot of people on social media saying, watching him for decades, as you said, back in the 70s when he started. He's really been an institution in college sports, especially between college football and March Madness.
And you were mentioning your friends, Andrew. I have a friend who lives in Sweden, and he says that Vern Lundquist is one of the most famous Swedish Americans out there.
That was actually a joke during the game that President-elect Trump said he might nominate him to be ambassador to Sweden. So he might have a new job, maybe a sports figure ambassador. We'll see.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, back to a story we talked about on Friday, the MLS Cup, the big matchup between the Seattle Sounders and Toronto FC. Well, that match in Toronto, a thrilling one, actually went into overtime, extra time, and then ended up going into a penalty shootout, a kick out and at the end there. And from that, the Seattle Sounders win their first MLS Cup. So much congratulations to them. We actually saw some pictures on Instagram of the Seattle Seahawks football team watching as they were preparing for their game. They were actually watching and cheering on their fellow Seattle sports athletes. However, it didn't work out too well for the Seahawks because they lost pretty handily yesterday to the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. But all that aside, we did talk about on Friday the two mayors of the city going back and forth with their little bet of coffee and beer. And we have Toronto Mayor John Tory tweeting out, keeping true to his promise. He said, congrats, Mayor Ed Murray, on winning hashtag MLS Cup. Tim Hortons and Amsterdam beer coming your way. So keeping true to his promise, he's going to send those goodies off to Seattle, as we talked about the fun little bet between those two cities. So some Seattle Canadian beer and Canadian coffee in Seattle, home to Starbucks. So they know a thing or two about coffee in Seattle.
They do.
But they'll be enjoying some Tim Hortons there.
All right, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Andrew, we look forward to hearing from you on Tuesday. And that wraps up the December 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is committed to helping the Democratic Republic of the Congo find a peaceful way forward after President Joseph Kabila's second term in office ends on December 19th. On October 18th, the government concluded an agreement with several opposition groups facilitated by the African Union that calls for elections in April of 2018. The October 18th agreement was a step in the right direction, but its timeline for holding elections fails to meet the legitimate aspirations of the people of the DRC. In addition, important parts of the opposition did not take part in the discussions that led to the agreement. The highly respected DRC's Conference of Catholic Bishops, or CENCO, is leading further discussions in pursuit of a more inclusive and strengthened agreement on the electoral calendar and transfer of power. The United States strongly supports CENCO in this role, given its credibility and neutrality, and believes its efforts provide the best chance of reaching a consensus agreement and guaranteeing the holding of elections. Supporting CENCO's efforts is our top priority, said U.S. Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, Tom Perriello, recently. I believe there is still a window for the bishops to succeed. U.S. government officials are in near constant contact with stakeholders, including within the DRC government and the opposition, pressing them to work with CENCO in good faith and to prioritize consensus over individual or party gain. The U.S. strongly believes that the key elements in an agreement likely to attract consensus include an electoral timeline that calls for presidential elections in 2017, a guarantee that the Constitution will not be amended and that President Kabila will not seek a third term, and electoral safeguards to ensure a free and fair election, including impartial Electoral Commission leadership. The United States will continue to support efforts to advance democracy, stability, and prosperity for the people of the DRC.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, Global Health and Human Rights. We will explore the right to health and health-related human rights. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Gambians across Africa and elsewhere rejoice at news that longtime ruler Yahya Jammeh conceded defeat in the country's presidential election. Today, Ghanaians go to the polls to elect a new leader. We take an in-depth look at the elections in The Gambia and Ghana right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.